So, Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. Lord, we need you. Thank you for your word, Lord. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. Speak to our hearts now, Lord. Make it plain. Let us live it. Let us apply it. Let us embrace it. Let us surrender to your word. Let us submit to your word, Lord. And then use us, Lord, as light, salt, and love to infect and affect a dying world. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for rescuing us, doing what we couldn't do for ourselves. Lord, we are forever grateful. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Light the way, Lord. Light up our hearts and minds to receive your word now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We've been talking about a wilderness experience. And family, you all know how I am. I'm trying to talk about a wilderness experience, but God takes me somewhere else this morning. So we are still going to get to the five things in the wilderness, but I want you to just kind of look at what God is speaking in chapter 10 and verse 1. It's Paul speaking. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should not be ignorant or stupid or dumb. How that all our fathers were under the cloud, all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea." So let's just pause right there. And we talked about it last week, how Paul is giving the children of God a history lesson. So for those of you taking notes, write down, this is a history lesson. Important for you to understand the history lesson. All right. What is history? What's God's history and what's not God's history? So God's history is based on the word of God. All right. World history is based on the world. Totally separate. Totally different. The word of God has been influenced by God. The world history has been influenced by Satan. So it's really only two types of history. Either it's God's history or it's the world's history, which is Satan's history. And Paul said, you need to know your history. Otherwise, you'll be following Satan with his history. Oh, I know, Pastor. I told you. I mean, it's amazing. As I'm studying this, so family, think about your history. Everything this world has told us, this orderly system of deception. Make a note. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says Satan is the god of this world. So if we're studying, even in our schools, if we study world history, we're studying Satan's history. Oh, Pastor, yeah, I know. That's why Paul said you can't be stupid about this history piece. Otherwise, you will live a confused life, a deceived life, because you think world history is your history. So I got a bunch of read this. All right, here's the revelation. Biblical history is based on the word of God. World history, which we learn in school, is based on the deception of Satan. Paul writes this letter around 54 AD, 55 AD. Make a note, heaven is our home and not this earth. All the stuff we see is a deception from the enemy. You say, well, Pastor, what about global warming? Well, earth is not your home anyway. Let it burn up. We get to heaven sooner. It's not even our home. Why are you worried about it? I mean, we're just distracted with stupid stuff. It's not even our home. So what? So when somebody says, so you don't care about, yeah, but I care about heaven more. And I care about your soul more. And that you get into your real home, which is heaven. We should be more focused on rescuing people from sin while the earth is going to be destroyed. You're not to be that comfortable here anyway. Where's your focus? Satan has influenced us to get involved in a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't mean anything to God. World history or earth history does not transfer into the presence of God. You're not going to stand before God and say, "God, I saved the earth from global warming. I'm here." It doesn't transfer. Two things that transfer in the presence of God. Are you a sinner or are you cleansed? It's the only thing that transfers. You stand before God, you're going to be cleansed and saved, or you're going to be a sinner and sent to eternal separation from God. It's the only history that we need to be concerned about is God's history and telling others about it. All this other stuff is a waste of time, and you and I will find out when we stand before God. Guaranteed. I promise you. The world's history is satanically inspired. Let me give you an example. We got civil wars where people are fighting against people. You got ethnic wars. You got religious wars. You got North Korea, South Korea. They're the same place, same people fighting against each other. You think that's God? You got the Middle East. When we were in Egypt, you got the church right here, you got the mosque right here, the same people fighting against each other. And we're not going to even talk about America, so we want to discriminate because somebody's black or somebody's white or Asian or Latino, so we don't care. Any excuse to do. And then we even narrow it down, you got gangs and they got blue and red. Then you go to city, well, I'm from Compton, I'm from Paramount, I'm from here, I'm from there. And it's just, this is our history and it's satanically inspired. Got teams against teams, and we got this thing, World Cup. People will kill you over this World Cup stuff. You think I'm playing? You talk about their country. We had a few years ago where the guy from Colombia, he made a mistake and kicked the ball in his own goal, and they lost. And he got back home, and they killed him. I mean, this stuff is serious because you get deceived that this is my history. My history. So then you want to go to Ancestry.com. And find out who you are, where God is saying, Paul, don't be stupid. Our fathers passed through the sea. All of them. Through the wilderness. That's our history. Our history is godly history. Maybe I'm not being clear. Okay, let me help it out. So I want to say that I'm from this country or whatever because that's pride. It makes me better than you. Because I grew up in L.A. and you grew up in Long Beach. I'm better than you. Yes, I am. Yeah, right. Or I'm from this country and you're from that country and I'm better. It's the satanically influence that makes me want to attach myself to this world history and say I'm this as if I'm anybody. All the oppressive systems in the world were set up by Satan. We give man too much credit thinking that the man is holding me down. No, it's your sin that's holding you down. Stop giving the man so much credit. You think they're that smart to really be running the world? They're influenced by Satan, and in the end, he's going to laugh at them. Satan is running this world. And will use anyone who is stupid enough to follow him to accomplish his goal of deceiving God's creation. Notice I didn't say God's children because we're not all God's children based on John chapter 8. Read it for yourself. But we were all created by God, but we're not all children of God. He's deceived people to think that we're all children of God. We need to love each other. That's a lie. We're not. But Satan's job, he will use anyone stupid enough to follow him to accomplish his goal of deceiving God's creation and leading them to a Christless eternity in hell. It's not the man holding you down, it's Satan deceiving you and you're wandering in the wilderness. Deceived in your dysfunction and comfortable in your confusion. And Satan is hoping you die before you can be rescued by the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, don't be stupid. Our history is not the world's history. Okay, Pastor, you got it. Okay. All right. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. Let me break it down. Let me make it plain for you. And you and I, we have to make a decision to determine which history has the priority in our life. I'm not saying disown your family and all that kind of stuff. I'm saying that God's history has a priority in your life. All this other stuff is foolishness. Make a note, you have to make sure you're on the correct side of history. Say, Pastor, you're going kind of hard. I do. You got to go out. When you walk out of here, you need to know what is your history. Because I'm trying to prepare you and I for war. My job as a pastor is to prepare us for war. You think you're going to leave out of here and go to a playground, but no, it's a battleground. You think you're playing in the sandbox, but it's a boxing ring, and you're getting your head knocked off because you don't understand what's happening. Send our kids to college thinking it's a safe zone and it's a war zone. We wouldn't send our kids and our teenagers to Afghanistan and just say, go and, you know, do it. Whatever they tell you to do, do it. We wouldn't send them off to Afghanistan unprepared, but why do we send them to college ignorant? And they don't even know their biblical history. Amen. They're getting eaten alive. Amen. Look at, did I say 1 Corinthians 1?
Yes.
Bless you. Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and make a note, Paul, he established the church in Corinth, and out of all the churches he established, this one caused him the most anxiety. This one reminds me of America so much, and I see why Paul was grieved. If I'm studying this, I'm trying to come across so you all understand what I'm saying. Verse, let's start at 1 and 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of non-effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. When you talk to somebody about the cross, it's foolishness to them, because it makes no sense. What do you mean, Pastor? It's foolishness. Let me come back to that, all right? Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer or the debater of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Comes from the Greek word moros, which means stupid, absurd, blockhead, and dumb. So the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. So you got to understand, the wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. What do you mean, Pastor? Okay, so you tell somebody with intellect, you know, God came to earth as a man, as a servant, allowed himself to be killed so we could be saved. Oh, man, that don't make no sense. Of course it doesn't. It's foolishness to you because you're trying to figure it out with intellect. And then you've heard the saying before, it's foolishness, but it's so simple. He said God uses the foolishness in verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound or to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So just the basic things like, man is so smart, but he can't figure out how a brown cow chews green grass and produces white milk. That don't make sense. Of course it doesn't. But it's the bottom line things that God uses. The basic things that fools man. I mean, how trees give off oxygen and we breathe it in, and we breathe out carbon dioxide and take in oxygen, and they breathe in carbon dioxide. How does God do that? We can't explain the common cold. And remember, doctors don't heal. They just prescribe medicine. God heals. Yeah. So in all that intellect, intellect says I need to build rockets, I need to go to space, and I need to dig in the ground and study dinosaurs and global warming. And then the intellect, when it talked about intellect, it talked about going to college, studying philosophy and psychology, studying the mind. Why do they act that way? I can tell you it's because of sin. Why would they do something? Because of the sin nature that man has. That's why you don't have to study psychology and philosophy and Aristotle and Plato and all those. God said that's foolishness to him. But to man, the cross is foolishness. All right, so here we go. Let's look at verse, let's stay in chapter 1. Let's go to verse 25. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Make a note. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Let me say that again, though. Because the foolishness of God, the base things of God, is wiser than any man that you can find. And the weakness of God, the weakest point that you could say about God, is still stronger than anything in any man. Verse 28, and the base things of this world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yeah, and the things which are not to bring nothing to things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You will never point your face, your finger in God's face and say, look what I did. But I, and then I, you will never do that. It's not going to happen. So that no flesh can brag about anything. It says, read this. You can never say that we rescued ourselves. God sets the rules. We don't. You and I are not going to point our finger in the face of God and say, look what I did. Mankind has a huge problem with this because we are infected, ineffective, and affected with satanic pride that wants to make us significant. The pride wants to make us something. So I grab on to world history and I say I'm black and I'm colored and now I'm African-American. And I'm a Negro, and I keep going trying to grab something that makes me significant. So I can stand up and say, I'm this. God said, you'll never point in my face and tell me what you did. I don't care what you call yourself. So I glory in my race, or my country, or my culture, or my hood, or my ancestry.com. Make a note, family, that history doesn't matter to God. It is satanically influenced to deceive you so you can't see your need to connect with and surrender to God. But look up, then God breaks it down. I love it. Paul breaks it down. Verse 30 gives us our history. Make a note, verse 30 is our history. Paul said, this is what you need to glory in. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who God has made unto us. Through Christ Jesus, God has made us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's what you talk about when you stand before God. I'm in Jesus Christ. So let me go over it again. I'm wise. I'm right. Sanctified and redeemed. Oh, and I had to break that down for you too. So here's the history that means everything. Christ is our everything. Know your history when you go on that college campus, youngsters. When you go on that job, know your history. Here's the history that means everything and transfers to the presence of God and throughout eternity. We are in Christ Jesus, and God has placed us in his wisdom. Wisdom in the Greek is Sophia, which I learned. I didn't know that. Sophia. All right. That's the wise. That's the wisdom. It means supreme intelligence that comes from God. And then righteousness, the condition of being acceptable to God. Man, I could jump over that. This thing. Man, what? You tell. Okay, let me finish. All right. Don't let me get ahead of myself. Righteous means that the condition of being acceptable to God. Through Jesus Christ, Do y'all, this is the best news you could ever hear. This is our history. Through Jesus Christ, now we're acceptable to God. And then we're sanctified. Your heart and your life have been consecrated, purified, made holy, and set apart in God's eyes and for God's service. And then redemption. Your liberation, your freedom has been secured by payment of a ransom. Somebody paid some money. You and I, our little selves, were locked up in sin. And then somebody paid a ransom and set us free. That's our history. It's the best news you could hear. He said, "That's your, don't get caught up in all this other stuff. This is what the history of us, of what we are as Christians. We have the wisdom of God. We are an acceptable, and I don't know, maybe, okay, I'm going to get a little prideful. Maybe y'all didn't grow up like I did because I grew up in L.A. That's my history, L.A. All right, anyway. But it says, now I'm acceptable to God. You and I are accepted. Before then, you couldn't go to God. Thank God we didn't die before we were saved. Because you would have went to God and you're not acceptable. You would have went right to hell. You and I. Because you can't be acceptable on your own. It's only through Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, don't get distracted with this other stuff. And wherever you go, they're going to call it foolishness. But it's your history. Doesn't make any sense to go to college as a freshman and start a Christian club. That's so stupid. Go study world history and philosophy and anthropology and paleontology to find out what this is about, what Satan's system is about. Don't study Christianity. Don't know your history. When you go to the gym, it's not to work out. It's to try and say, okay, Lord, who can I minister to at the gym? I'm not interested in your body. I'm interested in your soul. You go to work, there's people there that don't know this history. They're on their way to hell. They're not acceptable to God. And they're going to die because we're all going to die. And they don't know their history. They're all caught up in this world, in a satanic system. This orderly system of deception is what it calls the world. It looks like it's a bunch of chaos, but it's an orderly system of deception. And here's the revelation. Here's the question. Here's the revelation. If you're not a Christian, if you have friends who aren't a Christian, just ask them, who paid your ransom to release you from the penalty of sin? Folks, you don't know. I almost jumped out of my seat as I was studying. Redemption means that your liberation has been secured by a payment of a ransom. Somebody paid for you to get free. Jesus said, I'm going to die so that you can be free. I don't know if you saw that movie. It was out in the spring, All the Money in the World, about the richest man. His grandson gets kidnapped. I think we went and saw it with Serena. Was that the one we went and saw? And he got all the money, and they had to pay a ransom. And, you know, and you just, oh, my gosh. Just imagine if your kid was locked up. That's why as parents and youngsters, you need to understand this. We know that we are saved. We know that our penalty has been paid. And we're praying for you. Y'all don't understand. This is not a game. It's not a playground, it's a battleground. And you're out there fooling around, and if you die, you're going to hell because nobody's paid the penalty for you. Because we can't pay it. We don't have enough. It's out of our league. It's way over our pay grade. We had to get ours paid by Christ. We can't pay it for you. Oh, Mom, Dad, you guys are old-fashioned. That doesn't happen. No, you don't understand. Satan doesn't know how to play. He's trying to kill you before you get saved. That's why it seemed like we're going hard on you. Because we know. And so my question, who's paid your penalty? Oh, by the way, the penalty is eternal death, also known as hell. So let me ask you again. If you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, if you have not joined yourself together with Christ, who paid your ransom? Oh, and by the way, how much did they pay? And how do you know if it was enough or not? You won't know until you stand before God. And whatever you're counting on, that you're counting on now, that's what you're going to take, because that's what Paul said. Whatever you're standing on now, that's what you're counting on to save you. And you take your history and your good looks and your country and your race and your culture and your money and your 401k and your car and all this other kind of stuff and your education, and you stand before God and say, God, I want to bring it all to you to pay the price for my sin. Is it enough? How much did they pay? How do you know if it was enough? We already know through Christ Jesus. That's what. Let me read that again. Is that verse 30? But of him are you in Christ. You join yourself to Christ Jesus. That's for all of us who's asked Christ to come into our heart and to save us and to forgive us of our sins. Who God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, the payment for our sins. He released us. Question number 5, or whatever I'm at. Who or what in your world history paid your ransom to release you from the penalty of sin? In your world history. That's why it's foolishness to God, because it's not going to save you. Boy, I struggle. I tell you, family, I'm struggling even as a college professor. And we were just up north just looking at some colleges to send our daughter. And I'm going, God, why would I send my kid here or anywhere to study this foolishness? I'm struggling, y'all. But the world says your kid got to go to college so they get educated so they can get out the house. Okay, that's why. You get out the house and go. Big Bernie, I'm struggling. Because they're going to send our beautiful Serena, Darius, Yahira, Aaliyah, JL, Harold, Rose, Natalie, Dominique, Olivia. At some point, they're going to try and get faced with this college and Vivian to go to college. Oh, my gosh. And if you should see the stuff, during the orientation, they have this big sign that say, well, when you walk on this particular college, and all of them, they got the big sign, no homophobia, no this, no that, no this. So they got to extra all that stuff. So when you come, you can't say anything godly. We don't allow it here. Don't come with that Christianity foolishness. You can start a club, but that's stupid, but keep your mouth closed. They tell you when you walk in, we let anything go here. No gender phobia, no queer phobia. No homophobia, none of that is allowed here. You come in and do whatever you want to do. Keep your mouth closed. I'm going, why in the world would I send my daughter here for 4 years? I'll tell you why. To evangelize. If your kids, if y'all not going to evangelize, I don't know what y'all going to do. If you're not going teaching them Christ history, you're going to get eaten alive and you're going to get turned out. Thank you for that one clap. I'm trying, Sister Moore. I'm trying this morning. I'm trying. I'm just trying to figure this whole thing out. I am so torn. So it's up to us to train our kids. And my two older kids, I didn't train them enough. I should have trained them more. We get one shot at this thing, and once they're gone, they're gone. But I've learned, as I'm learning, as I'm reading this, as I'm digging deep, I'm like, man, I should have been on them. You know, you do what you can. It's what you don't know that you don't know that's killing us. And now I'm realizing that it's only two types of history. World history and God's history. Satanic history and God's history. But there's only two type of people. Those who serve God and those who serve the devil. There's nobody in the middle. So why shouldn't there be two types of history? Oh, that's too deep, Pastor. I know it's deep. Now, I'm telling you, when you study this word, you realize We're battling every day. The world has a whole nother agenda that's completely opposite from God's agenda. And our kids are caught in the middle of it. And we're caught in the middle of it. All right, so here we go. Let me finish this and wrap this up. We're supposed to be talking about the five things in the wilderness. I'm telling you, bless you. We're going to get there. I promise you we are. Because, see, while you're in the, Paul had to give them their history, and then he's going to say these are the examples of what not to do while you're going through this world, is what they did, and it kept them in the wilderness until they died in their dysfunction. But I'm trying to say, before we get there, we got to know what our history is. Otherwise, you don't even understand why you're in the wilderness and how to respond once you're in the wilderness. Who or what in your world history paid your ransom to release you from the penalty of sin? Somebody, please talk to me after service and let me know. And you can't tell me it was grandma praying for you. All she did, she prayed for you. She didn't pay the penalty for you. You see why it's dangerous to get yourself caught up in this world's history. It takes you straight to hell. Put a star by this scripture and never forget it. It's written there. Put a star by this scripture, verse 30, Corinthians 1, 30, and never forget your history as a Christian. Paul is trying his best to get through the Corinthians. Then verse 31, it says, the only things we should boast in. It says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So I'm translating saying the only things we should boast about is the four things the Lord has done for us, which we could not do for ourselves. Going to go to your job and you're going to be talking about the World Cup. And did you see this? And did you see that? You say, look, there's four things that God did for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. Do you know about those things? That's what I'm going to glory in. That's what I'm going to brag about. But remember, it's foolishness to the world. It's foolishness to them. So you can't expect them to get it. Because it's foolishness to them. Let me read some of my highlights, then we're going to go ahead and... Oh, man, I didn't even get to that part. Let's go back. Let me finish this. Let me finish with this, okay? You got it. You got your history. Yes. You know what to brag about now. Yes. The four things that God has done for us. All right, I'm going to wrap this up like this, but put another question on your mind, and then we'll pick up the rest next week. Back to Chris. Is that Chris? Oh, Dominique, Chris's sister. All right, that's what I meant to say. Okay. 1 Corinthians 10. And one, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were passed under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat. So look at Exodus 13. Dominique, take us to Exodus 13 and 22. So Paul gives a history lesson. Now he's given the history. He's saying, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So God was with them and they knew it because there was a pillar of a cloud by day, and which represented the presence of God. And at night it was a fire. So they knew when the pillar moved, they moved. When the fire moved, they moved. Remember, God followed them. They stayed with God. We take it to the next one. Is that 20? Take us to 21, Dominique. Let me see what is 21. See, I think that. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Make a note. The presence of God showed up in a pillar of fire and a cloud. Fire and a pillar, cloud, and fire. They knew God was with them. And so this is a question I want to leave us with, where we'll pick up next week. We have this debate, and I want to leave it on your mind today because it just comes back. I can't get past it. They had the cloud and the fire, cloud by night, fire by day. They knew God was with them. So here's the debate. Did they have it better or did we have it better? Because if it was a cloud and it showed the presence of God, you would say, God's with us, I'm good. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to stress. I know God is there because I can see him. Then at nighttime, the fire's right above your house. And you say, God is still, man, I'm asleep well. I'm not going to lose any sleep tonight. I'm not going to worry about the kids because I know that God hears my prayers and God is real. Somebody say amen. So we're telling the children of Israel, man, if we had a cloud by day and a fire by night, we would have never acted up. We'd have never acted up. And then they stand up and say, but you guys had Christ. You guys got an empty tomb. You guys have the word of God. We were written in the word of God. But you all have the word of God. You know how the story starts and you know how it ends. You know that you win in the end. Not to mention, we had the tabernacle in the temple, but God lives inside of you now. If we had Christ, the empty tomb, the word of God, the Holy Spirit, man, I wouldn't act up at all. Man, I would know what God is with me and I would live this thing. All I have to do is read and know that I win. They would say, you have Christ, the empty tomb, the whole story from cover to cover, and the Holy Spirit. They would tell us, man, y'all got everything. If we had all that y'all have, we would have never sinned. We would have never doubted God and we would have never turned our back on God. So, family, you have to make your own decision on this one. Who wins the debate? How much more convincing do we need that God is enough? The children of Israel, do they win the debate? Or do we win the debate? And then next week we'll get to the five things. Amen. We'll pick it up there next week. Family, I'm trying this morning. I'm trying, family. If you would, just bow your heads just for a minute. Oh, Lord, we have to walk out of here and we have to deal with this satanically influenced world history. We have to deal with the foolishness of man, the wisdom of man, which is foolishness to you. Then on the other hand, the wisdom of God is foolishness to them, and we're in the middle, Lord. That's why Paul made it so clear. We have to know our history, our biblical godly history. We have to teach it to our children and our youth. Otherwise, God, the world is just waiting to eat them alive. So God, help us to study to show ourselves approved. Thank you through Christ that you've given us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Oh my God. God, you made us right. You made us acceptable to God again through Jesus. For that alone. And then you redeemed us, which means you paid the ransom for us. We didn't have enough. We couldn't save enough. We couldn't do enough. Then Christ said, I'll go and pay it for them once and for all. God, let us live like we're victorious. Let us live like we were worth dying for and being paid for. It's our reasonable service. Forgive us for what we fell short, Lord. Don't let us put world history, satanically influenced history. Let us not make it a priority over God's history. God, we need you. Give us wisdom to raise our kids as we send them to school. so they can be light, salt, and love. They know their godly history so they can stand on being redeemed, stand on the cross, stand on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And know that's the only history that counts when we stand before God. We bless you, Lord. And we need you. Let this message resonate in our heart for time and eternity. Maybe someone's here and saying, Pastor, I've never even joined myself to Jesus Christ. You have to make the choice to say, Jesus, I want you to live in my heart. I want to join myself with you. And then you can have the godly wisdom. Then you can be in right standing with God. Then you can be cleansed and set apart in God's eyes and for God's use. And then the ransom is paid and you're free from the penalty of sin. Don't say, Pastor, I got to go get myself together. That's the last thing you can do, because we can't get ourselves together. You can't get clean in dirty bath water. It doesn't happen. You have to submit and surrender to Christ. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I need to get saved today, which means rescued through Jesus Christ, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, need to rededicate my life. I've been living for the world and I forgot all about my godly history. Matter of fact, until God broke it down through his word this morning, I didn't even know about it. I want to rededicate my life. If that's you, that's between you and God. You don't need to raise your hand. You just need to have a heart to heart with God. The word says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's between you and God. Have a heart-to-heart connection. Ask God to forgive you. He will. He'll tell you he's cast your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. And when you stand before him, you're justified just as it never happened. And you're redeemed and cleansed and sanctified, and you're in right standing because of Jesus Christ. Maybe you hear you saying, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I haven't made it official. And from the worship to the word, it's a place where I know I can grow and fellowship. And I know I need to be a part of a church home. If that's you, elevate your hand if you're looking for a church home. We'd love to be your people. We're family here. Lord, we love you and we bless you and we thank you. God, thank you for not letting us be business as usual, not being comfortable in any type of sin, but understanding our biblical history, how you put us in right standing. You paid the price so we could be free. Let us be salt, light, and love, and go tell this dying world that there is hope. There's hope in godly history. There's hope in the cross. There's hope in the resurrection. There's hope in Christ. Go tell the world. They call it foolishness, so be it. Plant the seed, water the seed, and let God give the increase. So God, revive us and fire us up, energize us to go and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone that we encounter. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, hug someone and you are dismissed.